We're in a series called Follow Me. It's installment number 4. The title of today's message is just Making Disciples. So over the last 4 weeks, including this week, we're doing the very best we can to take a word that's not used very much in culture, disciple, and trying to make that relevant to us today to bring a simple definition to what it means to be a disciple and how we can then accomplish our mission of making disciples. So a little bit of review, week number 1, and if you haven't been able to hear all these messages, please go online or go to your phone and get our app, and you can do all that stuff and find our messages. We'd love to share all that with you because we believe God's word is what equips you and strengthens you and brings life to you and helps you connect in a personal way. So week number 1 was disciples pray and obey. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Week 2 was it is possible we can follow Jesus even today. In 2019 in the United States of America, you can do it. You can follow Jesus. And then last week, we began to move into a little bit more of what does it mean to make disciples. We said, as the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, we said we can say the same thing to everyone around us, follow me as I follow Christ. Now today, we're going to wrap this up. We're going to say this, being a disciple is amazing. Making disciples is world-changing. Would you pray with me? Lord, I'm asking right now that you would speak through me for the edification of your church, that you would build up everyone who listens, that you would strengthen our hearts, that you would call us deeper into the ministry of making disciples that you have ordained each one of us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So look at the screen. We're going to talk about our mission. Say it with me. Making disciples who make his way known. That's our mission. We get it right from Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I want you to understand something today. If you want to know the presence of God, what does he say? I am with you. Now, I know God is everywhere all the time. That's called omnipresence. But if you want to know particularly the manifest presence of God, make some disciples. Because as we fulfill his mission, he has promised before these words, he says, I'm giving you the authority to do it. To do what? Make disciples. And after I'm telling you make disciples, I'm further explaining to you, I want you to teach them my word and teach them to obey. And then he says this, I am with you. I love experiencing the presence of God. How about you? Whoo, man, it like makes my hair stand up. It makes my, you just sense that God is present. There's moments in worship. There's moments in your life. But I'm telling you, there's never been a stronger sense of God's presence for me personally than when I'm actively engaging with the Holy Spirit to help make disciples. And so that is what we want to talk about today. We want to go back to our definition. We said, let's simplify. We took a real long definition in Webster's what a disciple is, and we simplified it and said this, disciples pray and obey. Pray means you have a relationship. That's how you connect with God. Obey means that you love God, and so you honor him by obeying his word, the Holy Bible, 66 books in all, Old and New Testament. And then we said we also obey the Holy Spirit because God is present today. He's in your heart as a believer. He's speaking to you. So you go, I don't know what that means. Well, if you don't know what it means to hear God, I would encourage you to come right down here at the end of the service and talk to one of our prayer team members, and they'll pray with you, and we can help you begin to hear the voice of God. But as believers, we are called as disciples. Disciples are people who pray and obey. Pray means I have a relationship with God. I develop that. I work through that. I connect with him on an intimate, personal level. And obey is not because I'm afraid of punishment. Obey is because I love him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So that's the definition of a disciple. Now, being a disciple is amazing. Wouldn't you agree? Isn't it just wonderful to wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm secure. I'm accepted in the kingdom of God. I don't have to worry about if I fail or if I don't measure up. I'm adequate in Christ. I have everything I need to live the life of godliness. I'm forgiven. I'm set free. I'm on a path of destiny. It's amazing to be a disciple. I love it. It gives me purpose. It gives me meaning in my life. But then this making disciples is world changing. Would you think with me for a moment? To make a disciple means I'm going to change the world. See, most of us think to change the world, we need to go out there somewhere and do something big. We need to be on TV. We need to get noticed by the national media. We need to go be a part of a protest or join a movement. I want to tell you today, there's no stronger movement than the disciples of Jesus Christ. It's been going strong for over 2,000 years. Unhindered by culture, unhindered by the things of this world, the movement called Those Who Follow Jesus is the greatest movement of all. And I love this movement. You know why? Because it's individual. It's one-on-one with God. But yet when we join in that one-on-one relationship, He initiates us into something greater. It's called the body of Christ. Now, we're a local expression of the body of Christ. It's a local church. But this body of Christ is worldwide. All the nations of the world have believers who are worshiping God, who are following Jesus, who are making disciples. See, we think, though, we need to go out there somewhere. I want to tell you the truth today. You need to go to your living room. You need to go to your job. You need to go to your church. You need to go to your community. If you want to change the world, do it at home. I thank God that He showed me years ago, if you really want to impact the next generation, pour more time and energy into your family than you do anything else. I try to do that. I know so many of you try to do the same. I'm telling you, that's where the real investment of the kingdom is. In your family, your coworkers, your friends, those who are in your community. Oh, we don't need to go anywhere. In fact, Matthew, when he wrote those words, go into all the world, if you really translated it word for word, it would say, as you go. We're not talking about going on a mission trip to somewhere, which I love mission trips. Those are great, and we're going to do more of those in the future. But here's your mission. Get out of bed, go to work, and disciple the people around you. Get out of your bed and go to the breakfast table and disciple your family. That's where world changing happens. Remember? Jesus said it. The Apostle Paul repeated it and made it in his own words. He said this, follow me as I follow Christ. See, there's no greater way to make a disciple than for someone to be able to imitate your example. And that was all last week's message, and I won't re-preach that. But the question is this, are you okay with somebody imitating you? If not, repent and let's keep going. Because as disciples of Christ, it's as simple as this. Hey, come do what I'm doing. And that's what I want to talk about today. You don't change the world by making the national news. You don't change the world by getting a big following on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. You change the world by loving your neighbor, by loving your spouse, your children, your coworkers, your fellow church members. You're probably not going to get a lot of TV time for showing up faithfully in your home. Showing up faithfully in your job. Showing up with love and character and concern and self-sacrificing to serve your community. You're probably not going to get a news crew out there filming you, interviewing you. But you will change the world if you love the people in your circle of influence. You will impact the world and literally change the next generation. Being a disciple, that's amazing. But making disciples is world-changing. Jesus is really serious about this mission. I would say it this way. Hey, church, this is serious business. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Teach them to obey all I've commanded you. The Apostle Paul got the message. And you see in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, he charges the person he's mentoring in the faith, the one he's discipling, Timothy. Paul says to Timothy these words in 2 Timothy 4 verse 1, I solemnly charge you. Again, not language that we use very much, but if you're going to give a charge, it's not casual. It's very, very important. Listen to the importance and the significance and the strength of what he's saying here. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. He says, I got four witnesses to this charge. God, Jesus, and Jesus' appearing, and his kingdom. He's saying, listen, this is of utmost importance. What's he charging them to do? Verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Do you see this, church? He says, I charge you by God, by Jesus, who is the judge, by his appearing and by his kingdom. There is absolutely nothing more important in this life than carrying out the instructions of our King, Jesus Christ. And Paul's telling Timothy, this is what I want you to do. I want you to preach the word. Why? Because the word are the instructions of our King, Jesus. And he wants the whole world to know that he loves them. He wants them to know the history lesson that Brent taught during communion. And he wants them to know that Jesus came and fulfilled all the requirements of the law and the prophets. He wants the world to know that the love of God has overcome every sin, every failure, and has taken people who were broken and lifted us up. Whoo! Preach the word. You go, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, there's a famous saying in Christianity. Preach the word. Use words when necessary. Preach the gospel. Use words when necessary. People are going to listen to your preaching by watching what you do. Your words, you know what they say. Words can be cheap. If your actions don't back up your words, then you're not really preaching the word. But our challenge is this. Live a life that says, follow me. Live a life that's not afraid to say, imitate my example. Live a life that brings honor to Jesus, and then therefore you make disciples, because you can tell anybody, just come do what I'm doing and you're going to be good. Let me say this again. There's nothing more important in this life than carrying out the instructions of our King, Jesus Christ. And when judgment day comes, nothing else will matter. Did you hear that? He said, I charge you by Jesus Christ, the judge of the living and the dead. I want to be able to stand before my King Jesus on judgment day and say, I did everything I could to preach your word. I sacrificed, I gave, I surrendered, I gave effort and strength. I tried as hard as I could, Jesus, to preach your word. And I'm not talking about doing this. I'm talking about living the life that preaches the word. So Jesus was serious. Go, make disciples, teach them to obey me. Paul was serious to his son, Timothy. Go, I charge you by God, by Jesus, by his appearing, and by his kingdom. Go and preach this word and teach people, reprove them, rebuke them, exhort them with great patience and instruction. I love the way the New Living Translation says this. I think it makes it very understandable. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. This is what all of us are to be about. Did you know if you're going to make disciples, you need the fruit of the Spirit called patience? Making disciples is not much different than raising children. Anybody done some of that? I see some grandmothers and grandfathers and current parents out here, right? Takes a lot of patience to raise kids. Takes a lot of patience to make disciples. But you know what? When you realize that you're simply partnering with Jesus, you don't take it so hard. You don't take it whether somebody's doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing or not. I'm faithful to preach the word. I'm faithful to live a life that they can example. I'm faithful to speak love and truth and encouragement to the people that God's put in my circle. And I'll trust God with the results. Amen? This is doable. Jesus has called us to it. I'm telling you, if he wants us to do it, he's given us what we need to do it. If we're truly going to obey Jesus and make disciples, you must know the word of God. And you must teach others the word of God, and you must teach them to obey what it says. So being a disciple is amazing. All kinds of benefits. Do you realize even a casual reading of scripture will give you more blessings than you can number? I was just reading in Proverbs this morning. It said to follow after Jesus and his wisdom is like a tree that is full of good fruit. It's like refreshment and joy to the follower. You know, so many times we get distracted with the fact that it says it's a narrow way that leads to life. And broad is the way that leads to destruction. Did you realize that we love to keep our options open? And do you know what equivocates to keeping your options open? Broad is the way. You're going to have to let go of your options. This little black book I've been holding up, the Holy Bible, it narrows your options. But it increases your benefits. It's blessing beyond measure. I mean, why would you care if I have all these options, if having all these options leads to destruction and narrow leads? I'm just getting on the narrow path because I want life. That may not be real compelling to young people, but people who are in my age group, that sounds really good. Because we've tried a lot of broad way. And we need narrow way. And all you young people, just take my word for it. Save yourself some pain and agony and bad consequences by just choosing the narrow way now. Listen to your parents. They might be fuddy-duddies, but they know what they're talking about. I know my kids think I'm an old fuddy-duddy. I'm repetitious, but I'm patient about it. Do what the word says. Honor your father and mother. It will go well with you. Being a disciple is amazing. Making disciples, world changing. Listen, we can't have a been there, done that mentality if we're going to be a disciple maker. Do you know why? Because discipling requires a lot of repetition. Think with me. Someone might say something like this or think this. You know, I've already been to that Freedom in Christ event. I don't need to go again. But what if you were to say, I may not need to go, but I have a friend who needs to go. So I'm going to go with them. Come on, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, I'm already filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm good. I'm okay with all the teachings about it. And I don't need to go to that Holy Spirit class. Yeah, but somebody in your life group needs a dose of the Holy Ghost. Hey, let's go to the Holy Spirit class. Woo! And then you just get to set. Maybe you're not the best at teaching all the principles and all the scriptures. Somebody is. Bring them to the Holy Spirit class. Pastor Mark and Pastor Gabe and Pastor Kirby, they'll teach them all about the Holy Spirit. And you just get to sit there with them and go, isn't this good? I mean, that's easy disciple making right there. You don't even have to prepare. You just show up. I like that. Follow me as I follow Christ. You know what I love about our church? In just about every membership class we do, I see current members attending with prospective members. Do you know why people do that? It's because they love people. They want them to feel comfortable in a new environment. It's not because, I promise you this, it's not because they want to come hear me preach the membership notebook one more time. It's not why they're here. They're here because someone in their circle of influence is interested in coming to a deeper commitment to Christ and becoming a member of the church so they can fulfill their destiny in their local church, and so they're going to be there with them. See, discipleship, guys, at its best is relational, but it's also sacrificial. It's even inconvenient. It's schedule-altering, but it's world-changing. If you want a life of convenience, don't be a disciple maker. Because 10 o'clock at night, Bob and Sister Susie get in a fight, and they call you, it's inconvenient. But you know what? I'm there, and you're there. And so many people in this church are there because they want to help make disciples. Why? Because being a disciple is amazing. So I want everyone to know this wonderful, blessed life of connection with God. It's messy, but it gets better. You see people's quality of life increase. You see husbands and wives loving each other. You see broken relationships mended. You see people finding joy in the journey again. You see people finding connectedness and a place to belong, and you say, it's worth the inconvenience. It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the schedule-altering moments. Why? Because people matter. Disciples aren't robots. Disciples are people that matter. And we're called to teach them, even to correct them, but to encourage people into their destiny in the kingdom of God. It's a great job. And the benefits package are out of this world. Literally. You know, when I think of all the people who've gone out of their way to teach me, to pour into me, to love me, to train me, yes, to rebuke me, and to be with me in my hardest times, I'm grateful. I'm appreciative that people in my life have taken time to disciple me. I think of the life group leaders who stayed late to help a young, struggling marriage. I think of the people who sat with me in children's ICU and just prayed when there was nothing to say. I think of the people who've taught me the word and exposed me to deeper relationships with God and with his people. You don't do this on your own. So many times in American culture, we think, I got this. I'm independent. I can handle it. I can read that Bible. I can do what it says. I don't need you. And we only do that because somewhere along the way, needing someone else hurt. And we said, I don't want any of that. It's just me and Jesus, and we're okay. The problem is, that's not how Jesus set it up. And if you read his word, he talks about being the body of Christ and being connected in deep, life-giving relationships. You know, don't you want to be the person that someone else is grateful for someday? That they say, I'm so glad that this person sowed into my life. I have a debt of gratitude I could never pay. I got lots of people like that in my life. I could never pay them back, but I can pay it forward. I can disciple someone else. I can be there when God tells me, hey, I want you to sow into this person's life. Hey, I want you to give some extra time to this guy. Hey, I want you to invite these people into your home. Just be willing. Just be able. Just be available. I want to get really practical for a second because I want you to understand that to the very best of our ability at Harvest Christian Fellowship, we've designed everything we do to try to make disciples. So if you'll put that graphic up on the screen, it says next steps. And on the next steps graphic you see Sunday morning, this is a discipleship event. Good job, you showed up. You're here. You worship, you pray, you know what? I can't experience God the same way I do here as on my own. The prayer, the worship. You know, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. We experience the presence of God here. People pray for us. We pray for one another. We hear the word of God. We join into worship. We fellowship and show signs of love and affection and care and concern for people that are dear to us in our hearts and our minds. Life groups. Life groups, you know what that is, right? The best way I know how to describe what happens in a life group, get in a small group and learn to love 10 or 12 people as much or more as you love yourself. And guys, it changes your life. It helps you. It's something that each one of us need. And in our culture, we say that we're more connected than ever. Connected to the world. But the reality is personal connections have disappeared. We think because we look at somebody's Facebook, we know what's going on in their life. It's not the same as sitting down and saying, how's it going? How can I pray for you? What's going on with your kids and your wife and your children? You know what I'm saying? We need those personal connections. I'm so grateful for the hundreds of people who participate in life groups. They make a way for someone else. Do you know, it's easy for someone to say something like this. I've been a Christian for about 20 or 30 years, and I don't really think I need a life group anymore. And you know what I would say to them? You're probably right. But I could tell you hundreds of people who need you to teach them what you know. So I need you to lead a life group. And I need you to keep leading one, because you know what? Our church grows every Sunday. I mean that. We have guests every Sunday. I'll be honest with you. We don't keep them all because we don't have enough places for them to connect yet. So we need more people who will respond to the call of God and say, I'll open my home. I'll open my heart. I'll lead a life group. I'll host a group. I'll let people into my circle. I'll inconvenience myself for the sake of the new believers. There's other things we do. Everything we do here is designed to make disciples. You see, membership class is specifically designed to bring us into agreement. Why does that matter? Because Psalm 133 says, when brethren dwell together in unity, God commands a blessing. How many of you want God's commanded blessing in your life? You want a church that's full of God's blessing. That's why we come to agreement. Then the discipleship path, I want to break it down real fast for you. We have things like Freedom in Christ. It's a two-night event. Holy Spirit class, a one-night event. Kingdom Families, two nights, learning how to bring the Word of God to bear in your parenting and your life at home. Then we have like men's ministry. Brave Hearts happens every Tuesday morning, 6:30, right here in this room. We have free coffee and free word. And that's all we do. And then we talk with each other and we pray for one another. But what are we helping to do? We're helping develop somebody's pray and their obey. We're helping them develop a relationship with God. We're helping them learn the Word of God so they can actually obey the Word of God. We have men's retreat where you get off for several hours, you turn off your phone, you devote that time to connecting with God. It's helping your pray and your obey. We have women's ministry. Life-giving Saturdays, a morning event. Gathering of friends, a summer event where ladies get together and do all kinds of girly stuff. I like Brave Hearts because we just make coffee and set at tables, no decorations needed. Ladies like all that, it's cool, go be a lady. Gathering of friends, women's retreat, same concept as men's retreat. Get away for a few hours, devote it to God, develop your relationship, go deeper. All these events, they're on the discipleship path. They're helping us make disciples. Kids ministry, Sunday morning, we got kids. Do you realize that our goal is to start discipling your kids in agreement with you from the day they're born? There's people back there rocking babies, praying over them, singing over them, letting them know they're loved and accepted. All the way through, Wednesday night, Kid City. It's even more intentional. We have a full staff, and all those people are there every week, and your kids are going to see the same teacher and get connected at a deeper level, and they're going to be taught God's word, and they're going to be experiencing God through worship. Then we have Kid City Summer Camp. Then we have Catalyst Youth Ministry Wednesday nights. We have over 100 kids showing up here. You know what? We don't even do games anymore because our kids are hungry for the presence of God. They want to worship. They want to hear the word. And we have Catalyst Summer Camp. We get those kids away for 3 or 4 days, and you would be amazed at the worship experiences you have at Kid City Summer Camp and Catalyst Summer Camp, because the God of the universe is visiting these children. And why do we do all this stuff? Because we're trying to obey Jesus and make disciples who make his way known. The list could go on and on. We serve coffee because we want to make disciples. We run golf carts because we want to make disciples. We have altar team because we want to make disciples. We have worship because we want to make disciples. Everything we do is designed to help create an environment where people can develop their pray and their obey. And I just want you all to hear that and hear the call of God. The Spirit of God is calling each one of us to engage at whatever level we can. Some of us can do preaching. Some of us can lead worship. Some of us can lead a life group. But all of us have a function and are important to the role of making disciples in this church. So what happens? You participate in the events, and that's learning and receiving, and that's the being a disciple is amazing. But then you go to the next level, and you serve on a team that helps make this stuff happen. And then you go from learning and receiving to serving and giving, but you never quit learning and receiving. You know, I've been to Freedom in Christ probably 50 times, and I get something every time. Do you know every time I walk in going, my gosh, I've been here 100 times. And then I sat down and I open my eyes and I open my ears and God speaks to my heart. That's the way it works in the kingdom. Now, all of you can't do everything, but there's something. Maybe your job is to pray and intercede. You go, I don't have any time in my schedule right now. But you can engage with the Holy Spirit to pray for our church. There's never a time in your life that you cannot somehow participate in the ministry of this church. I just want you to ask God how he wants you to get involved, because making disciples who make his way known is what matters to Jesus. So the bottom line is this: we need everyone involved to effectively make disciples. You know, in traditional environments, they think, well, that's what we hire you for, Pastor. Make disciples. Well, I'm doing the very best I can, but I'm not much better than Jesus, probably not as good as him, and he only had about 12. So if you want your church to be small, expect the staff to do all the discipling. But if you want to reach the world, every member disciples someone. And that's the way of the kingdom. And that's the way the Bible teaches. Ephesians 4 says the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher are here to equip the saints to do good works. And that's what I love about our church. I'm not after anybody today, but I just want us to remember what we're here for. I charge you by God, by Jesus, by the kingdom of God, and by his appearing, preach the word, encourage people, strengthen people, correct people, build people up, because this is what Jesus has called us to do. Would you stand with me? Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 both say the same thing. We are the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, it says this: there's different gifts and there's different functions, but no one member is more important than the other. So I want to encourage you today. I hope that you listen to this message and your heart comes alive with passion. It says, I can do my part to make disciples. I want to join with Jesus. I want to take the charge of Paul that he gave to Timothy. I want my life to preach the word. God, help us today. We're here to make disciples who make his way known. There's a calling on this church, not just to have an amazing life as a disciple, but to change the world by making disciples. Would you pray with me? And as I pray, I'll invite our prayer team to come forward now. Lord, it's in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit that we ask that you would lead us to deeper levels of discipleship, both personally so we can grow and learn, but God, open our eyes to the opportunities that are all around us to serve and to give, to be an example to the world around us. Lord, empower us in our jobs. Empower us in our homes. Empower us as a church to go into all the world and make disciples. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God may be speaking to you this morning about deepening your discipleship journey. There may be things on your heart where you go, I want to come, I want to receive prayer. I'm struggling with this or that in my life. Come and receive prayer this morning as we sing. Then there's others of you here today. You say, I'm responding to the call of Jesus to go and make disciples. You come and let somebody know that and pray this morning with someone that the power of God would fall upon you, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would move in your life so you can be effective in this all-important mission. Being a disciple is amazing. Making a disciple is world-changing.